B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
His name is Mike Garofalo. Hello, Michael.
Thank you. I don't know if that's accurate, but I'll take it.
Your intellect knows no bounds.
You're buttering me up.
Of course I am. All right, so let's talk about this draft here. And I've tried to reach Zen with it, Mike. I know there are a lot of people here that are really having a lot of angst. They don't know what Howie's going to do. So I've broken it down to at 12, the best guy left at a position of need should be theirs, whether it's Devontae Smith, whether it's the cornerback of J.C. Horn, or whether it's even the quarterback Justin Fields. So what are you hearing that the Eagles are thinking about here with 12?
My hunch, and again, this is the draft you never, ever, ever, ever know. Like, I have spoken to the key people in decision. Like, take the 49ers, for example, right? I've spoken to the people that would know and should, and they're not going to tell you. So you never really truly know, right? So I'll tell you Mac Jones at 3. I'm like 95% sure. I can't be 100%. You're never 100% sure. Mm-hmm. So I would tell you that if there's a quarterback at 12, I don't think they take him. I think they trade out and see if somebody else wants to come up, whether it's New England or whoever else that, you know, needs a quarterback to get up to 12 at that point. So I think that they're probably looking more cornerback, wide receiver at 12 if they're staying put and making the pick than a quarterback. Because I think it's Jalen Hurts' chance this upcoming season to truly show what he can do and if he can be a franchise quarterback. And by the way, if the answer is no, they've got themselves likely three first-round picks next year to give themselves a chance to go get a quarterback should they need one, or should they not be in position by virtue of their record to get one with whatever pick is going to wind up being their pick. So, when they made that move from 6 to 12, they said, all right, 5 quarterbacks are going high, likely, ahead of 12. That pushes some of that talent back. I do know that they like Patrick Surtain. I know they like him a lot. I know the Dallas Cowboys like him a lot. So do they move ahead of Dallas to get him? That could be a possibility. You know, if he gets to 9, because Denver has said they've heard from teams behind them that are willing to move up. I would not be surprised if the Eagles at least put a call in that said, hey, if you're on the clock at 9, there's a guy that we want. What would it take to go from 12 to 9 to get in front of Dallas? And the Giants, by the way, because the Giants are sitting there to jump 2 NFC East teams. So I'm putting pieces together. I don't know that to be a fact. But that's something I also think could be in play for them.
That's really interesting that they would sneak ahead of Dallas and grab if they really like him. So you're saying they like him more than they like J.C. Horn?
I believe that to be the case, and I believe that to be the consensus across the league that Surtain has got at least a slight edge on Horn as far as the top cornerback in the draft right now. Yep.
All right, what does Atlanta do at 4?
It's a great question. Listen, facts are facts. They love Trey Lance. That's a fact. They know Kyle Pitts is probably as sure a thing in this draft as you're going to get. So do you take the quarterback because you're saying to yourself, well, we've got Matt Ryan. We know we're going to be good. So we'll never be in this position this high again. So let's take a quarterback if all things are equal, because we've got one that we like that could be, in our hands at 4, provided Mac Jones is at 3. Now that sets off a chain reaction of things, by the way, because if Pitts doesn't go at 4, I don't think he's going at 5. I believe Ja'Marr Chase is going to the Dolphins Bengals at 5, which now puts Pitts at 6. Miami sort of already got it. Pass-catching tight end in Gesicki, but I still think that they would wind up taking Pitts, even though I know they like Jalen Waddle there. So now maybe if they take Pitts, that pushes Waddle back a little bit too as well. So, I don't do a mock draft. If I did, I would really have a hard time with that Atlanta pick. I would probably flip a coin.
You're the only guy in America.
In a lot of ways
by the way. You're the only guy in America that doesn't do a mock draft.
I should. I mean, you know,
of course
I don't
you
know
should.
That anybody really holds you. Yeah, I mean, but I just, I hate being wrong, right? And so once you actually do the mock draft and put your name on something and put a name in a slot, you're kind of saying, hey, here's, even though it's a stone cold guess by everybody, but I would really struggle with that pick because Miami is really keeping it close to the mm-hmm. best. Even the Trey Lance's, people, you know, I've talked to people close to Trey Lance who say, hey, you know, we've had conversations with Atlanta. They won't tell them. They won't tell us what they're doing, which really they could if they wanted to, right? But they haven't told us they're not taking them either. Yeah. So,
this is interesting. I think it makes draft night really an interesting thing, that these little things, these little subplots behind the scenes. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry. I was going to say somebody's going to move up into the top 10 too, and that's going to make it interesting as well.
Okay.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Let's talk about the Eagles, and I'll do this systematically because the first bell that was rung is this story in The Athletic, which really kind of panned the whole front office and the way they do business to the point where they get specific by saying that they don't even listen to their scouts. And how he has his own board, and Jeffrey Lurie has his own board. Howie comes out then, and the first thing he does is laud his scouts to counteract what was said there.
Yeah.
So, like, how do you process how they do business with evaluating personnel, like in a draft situation?
I would say you're going to see a correction this year. I think he's going to lean on his scouts in large part because they got themselves a rookie head coach and a coaching staff that's green in a lot of ways. So I think it's not like, you know, they've got Jim Schwartz coming in as a longtime defensive coordinator, and this is the guy that we can lean on, kind of like they did, a couple of years ago. I think that Howie knows that he probably should have leaned more on the scouts the last couple of years. They allowed this coaching staff to have their input and say, yeah, no, Justin Jefferson is, you know, more not as much of a fit for our offense as Jalen Reagor is. And that was kind of the tiebreaker there, and that's why they went Reagor. So, I think in a lot of ways you're going to see Howie lean toward the scouts, and I think that was the message that he was sending. Listen, there are teams. New England is a perfect example of scouts who go out, spend all the time on the road, compile reports, bring back their information, and then in a lot of times Belichick does what he wants to do and completely disregards, which is, you can do that when you're Bill Belichick, right?
Yeah.
I've never really painted the Eagles or gotten the impression that that's what it's like in their building. So I don't want to say it's disregarding the scouts, but by the same token, yeah, within the last couple of years, they've tried to take the feedback from the coaching staff, especially after Doug wins a Super Bowl, gets a couple of skins on the wall by having a perennial playoff team and a Super Bowl winner. So you tend to take his input a little bit more, and it hurt them in the draft the last couple of years. So, I do believe that you're going to see them kind of revert to, all right, here are our guys on the road who have put in the time and our guys in the building that evaluate these guys on film. And that's the way we're going to go to get ourselves some talent back on this roster.
Does that apply to the owner as well? That he's also going to trust that scout landscape? I mean, really, because, you know, we know that he's climbed in there.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, what that's going to come down to is the owner going to listen and heed the advice himself, right?
It's
not, you can't, I mean, for good or bad, and a lot of times it can be bad when a non-football guy interjects himself,
mm-hmm.
What are you going to tell him? Are you going to tell him, no, we're not going to listen to you? I mean, you try your best, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I would think that I would, and I'd be capable too. I would hope that you would, Mike, and be capable of doing it. But that is the guy that signs the paychecks, right? And so it comes down to him. It comes down to him trusting his people and letting them do what they're paid to do.
Well, of course, we'll find out if he doesn't. Last thing for you, we're talking to Mike Garofalo from NFL Network. The last thing is the Eagles were at 6, they traded to 12. And so if Pitts is there at 6 for Miami, would you measure this out as what they did was still more beneficial because they did get an extra first round pick? They did get a good player at 12. And so that's worth not getting Pitts.
I, you know, it's funny. I was going through this scenario, and I said, I was talking to Rappaport, who is blowing me up right now, saying he's got to talk to me about something. Lord knows what that's about, but he's going to have to wait till this interview's over. I said, I know that's going to be the reaction. Why do we trade the 12? We could have sat at 6 and take Pitts. Well, you know, you did pick up a first. I would say this, you know, in the long run, as much as I hate it, as much as it drives me nuts, because I'm going to see 5 quarterbacks go high, and I know from covering this league that not all 5 quarterbacks are going to pan out. In fact, more won't pan out than will pan out. But these teams and the way the league is structured lean so far towards the quarterback. Point being, if you take Kyle Pitts and you still don't have a quarterback next year, what do you got, right? Like, what does it matter? So I think that move was made to say, we've got 3 picks next year. If Hurts doesn't pan out, we've got what we need to do to get a quarterback, and that's more important to us for the long-term health of the franchise than one player at number 6.
Okay.
I do like that approach, again, in large part because these quarterbacks that are going high are going to push some of this non-quarterback talent back to 12 or again, if they can move up to 9. If they go from 6 to 12 to 9 and get themselves, let's say, Surtain, then you could say, hey, it was worth it because we moved back, got ourselves our top cornerback, and picked up a first-round pick in the process to use for next year.
Gotcha.
By the way, one more thing. I'm bearish on the Dolphins for this upcoming season, so that could wind up being a pretty significant first-round pick.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. Always good to talk to you, my friend, and I know you'll be busy. So thanks for coming on. We'll talk to you up the road.
All right, Michael. Thanks, pal.
Mike Garofalo, NFL Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.